Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone, or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
A man brought a gun to a pizza restaurant hoping to save kids and found nothing. Instead, the conspiracy theory that drove him there morphed into something larger, more outrageous, and somehow even more difficult to debunk. Then came another batch of emails. This week's episode is 4chan, WikiLeaks, and Pizzagate, Part 4.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you. It's not easy to cover a decade's worth of crimes in plain sight, but we've done it. Today, we come to present with this crazy story.
It is, and I don't think it's done.
No, not even close. I think I did see Katie Fong from MSN is a journalist, and I think she's from MS now, and maybe she might be freelance now, but she is suing the Justice Department for failing to comply with the Epstein Files Transparency Act, arguing that as a journalist, she's unable to exercise her First Amendment rights because they have failed to disclose all the information that they are by law and required to disclose. So maybe we'll have a part five later when it's all revealed.
Oh, yes. Something's going to be revealed.
I think so.
It's coming. It's coming, everybody.
And this is, it's also connects us to episode 74 way back when we did QAnon. I don't think when we covered that, we were like, this is crazy. Nothing could be crazier than this.
Than QAnon?
Yeah. Now look.
It's all tied together. And kind of, when I've started thinking about it, I'm like, it makes sense that just like a handful of people are puppeteering all of these things and that they are interconnected, because at the heart of it, it's all greed, power,
control,
pedophilia, money, billionaires. So we don't have a lot of billionaires, you know?
Mm-hmm. There's only so many people that have this power. I think of it like when someone's like, well, there's no way, you know, just a couple people can, you know, cause all this or cause all these people on 4chan or whatever to act this way. It takes like two people to start a wave at a stadium. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so it's like, I think they just went on there and did one of these. And then everyone on 4chan was like, oh, we're doing this. We're doing this. And so that's kind of what happens with these things, that it takes Steve Bannon or one of his minions to go and just flick a little thing out there. And then it gets grabbed and made bigger and chewed on. And we'll see today what
bots,
happens.
By real people.
Both. Yeah.
Either way, it doesn't matter. The information's getting spread. So it's like wildfire once the internet gets it. It's just out of your control and spreads faster than you can put it out.
You cannot, you can't get it back, put that genie back in the bottle or get the ship back to harbor.
No,
it's gone.
As much as Christina Aguilera tried to tell us,
no,
you cannot do that. And I feel like you were talking about a ship into harbor to segue into the crime wave thing. I feel like every week we get a little bit better in the segue. So pretty soon it'll be seamless. You won't even notice
that
much
we're talking.
Like the Oasis of the Seas as it travels across the Atlantic Ocean. So big, you won't even be able to tell we're moving.
It's beautiful. We're going to the Bahamas. We're going to Coco Key. We're going to Fort Lauderdale to get it all kicked off. So join us. Crime Wave at Sea 2027.
Really buried the lead there. Fort Lauderdale.
At the last, we get to return
place.
Home.
Best place to start.
It's the final stop. Technically, it is the final stop on the
That's
cruise.
True.
So
it is.
When you get back, you can see the beautiful shipping containers that we saw. I just finished. It ended up being, I had to chunk it into six parts, but I have day zero, day one, day two, and I did a diary entry for all the days. So if you have not been, you're curious about what it's like, I'll figure out a way to post it and disseminate it. But, and you can listen to it if you're not like, I'm not going to read 2,000 words about chips in the bottom of a cup. Listen to 2,000 words about chips in the bottom of a cup. But truly, it might give you an idea if you're like on the fence and think you might want to go or not. Or if you went, you're probably, you know, we had an interaction. You're probably shouted out in there. I tried to write everyone's names down. So we'll send that out to you soon. But if you want to go on the real thing and write your own diary, you got to go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister.
It's going to be bigger and better than last time. Literally bigger ship, more creators, more people.
God
just by
knows.
Default.
God knows what fun awaits us. That
use our code. You get $100 off your cabin and a private meet and greet. Private with the other people they got. You know, it's not one-on-one.
Fellow
but, you know, we did have a lot of one-on-one encounters on the ship, so you never
really
know.
We did. I ended up having breakfast with people or talking to people, just like having a drink with them just because we happened to bump into each other. So go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister, and for at least those days, you will be able to bump into us because you'll know where we're at, and we'll say hi to you, too. So we'll see you on the boat.
Well, if we want to plug anything else, now's the time to announce that our husbands gotten together. And they're getting married. Just kidding. Yeah. They released their own podcast today.
Yes.
When you're hearing this, it will have been yesterday.
So it's only 24 hours old. So go to Spotify and listen to, it's called Forgotten Fiction. I listened to the first episode while I was making my breakfast this morning. And I thought,
I haven't listened yet.
I still thought, man, I've never heard the two of them talk so long uninterrupted. I felt like I was eavesdropping.
Well, usually because we're there.
Exactly. I felt like I was eavesdropping. Slash, perhaps is Christy and I in a coma? Is that why these two are speaking just uninterrupted? But no, it's because
I think it's hard for them to get a word in, right?
I hear that.
If we're both there.
For sure. So go check it out. The first episode, they're talking about Tales from the Crypt and Beavis and Butthead, but they're bringing pieces of fiction, whether it's a book, movie, TV show that are from a while back that we may have forgotten about, we being the common we, and then they're just recapping it and riffing about it. And it's a good time to hear the Brown Town Boys.
Forgotten Fiction is the name of it. The art is amazing, too, from our good friend Jude. So
beautiful.
Amazing there, too. So, yeah, go follow them. Give a listen. I think they released 4 episodes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a good bingeable amount right off the bat.
Yeah. And I like it because the episodes are not like super duper long. It's like a good little bite while I was making a bite. So shout out Forgotten Fiction.
There you go.
And the husband. So, and it's not quite exactly like ours because they talked 0% about a horrific underground pedophile ring that runs everything. But the subtext is there. Yeah. that ring was going on while the fiction they talked about was created. So
I can't imagine they're going to cover something that this wasn't going on
during
when it was created, considering this goes back to the 30s.
Easily.
If not before that.
Easily. Yeah, I think in a future episode, it goes back to the 1730s. So
yeah.
We'll take you all the way. But for now, man, we're jumping into queue.
Oh, are we ever revisiting in some ways, too, what we thought was just some
troll?
Yeah, a troll. We all thought it was a troll. And then we're like, it was a troll, but it was a literal troll because his name was Steve Bannon.
Yeah.
And he lives under a bridge.
It really was, though.
So we're all going to learn some stuff today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it.
Yeah.
That can be a new sound effect, Tommy, if you
leave that crack.
Mark that.
Ooh, that was
I
good.
I specifically did it into the mic just to get that clean, crisp. This is a Diet Coke. Everybody knows.
That I heard it. They kill cancer cells, so congratulations on your journey.
I'm so cancer-free. I will never, ever, ever That's me knocking
on can.
Get cancer because of the amount of Diet Coke that I consume.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, those around me aren't going to get it either because it just radiates off of me.
It's like an EMF field. Thank you. I feel healthier.
QAnon started quietly. On October 28th, 2017, an anonymous user posted a cryptic message on 4chan's poll board under the name Q, claiming insider access to a war between Donald Trump and a global cabal of Democratic pedophiles. What followed mapped onto the architecture of Pizzagate almost exactly, including the crowdsourced investigation, the food codes, and promises of an upcoming reckoning. But this time, the conspiracy was not limited to John Podesta's emails. QAnon quickly became the wide-reaching theory that easily absorbed any event, person, or scandal into its framework. 4chan, the site that created Gamergate and built Pizzagate, had moved beyond its start as a simple image board. By 2017, it had become a solid and reliable pipeline where a whole generation was radicalized into nonsense and violence.
And y'all can go listen to episode 74, but we talk about it in there that it was kind of this quote from Trump, three weeks before this, he came out and said, maybe it's the calm before the storm. And the reporter's like, what storm? And that's when Trump went, you'll find out. And that phrase, the calm before the storm, began being used, what Q posted, that framework. It used this framework of the storm. But the thing that really legitimized it was a photo posted a couple days later out of the window of Air Force One. And it was kind of similar to another picture that the White House had posted out of Air Force One, like around the same time. And the idea was that Q was proving like, look, I'm on Air Force One. I'm such an insider. And like, yeah, because in my opinion, that picture was probably from Steve Bannon. Mm-hmm. He probably was on Air Force One.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, or what?
Yeah, it probably Bannon. It could have even been Ghislaine or somebody. Jeffrey.
Yeah.
I mean, like anybody could have been. But I remember that coming out and that really set everyone off on mm-hmm. this. We have a whistleblower, there's someone on the inside, and it's like, yeah, but they're not on our side.
No, it was framed as like, oh, it's all the Democrats. Trump is going to save us. He is not part of this. And we talked a little bit about in the episode, but it's more of like a alternate reality game that people mm-hmm. began playing versus like now I think with the new drop of the Epstein files, there are not just professional journalists, but like citizen journalists that I think people are genuinely combing through and mapping things within the files. Like Becca Day, we talk about her. There's several Substack journalists, but the QAnon was more like making up a fantasy thing and like mm-hmm. waiting for these dates. Like the breadcrumb would say, you know, June 15th, 2019, this thing's going to happen. And then it never would, but they would like get all excited like a cult.
It was very tinfoil hat. And mm-hmm, mm-hmm. for people that subscribed, especially early on, you know, it was chalked up to just a silly conspiracy theory and something that wasn't going to go anywhere. The fact that that original article we covered, or the original topic, 2017, it's almost 10 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And we see how interwoven this all has been through everything. And there's like 10 channels a couple people operate to spread their propaganda.
Mm-hmm. No, and it's crazy to think about in the 60s and 70s, it was books, newspapers, television, radio, and that doesn't work anymore. So it's mm-hmm. podcast interviews, these CIA experts that come out as podcast, you know, expert interviews on all these podcasts or hosts themselves that you find out they're being paid by Russia. They're being paid by these, or like Julian Assange started doing his RTV, like a Russia Today show. So it's just overtly a foreign adversary infusing the American ecosystem of entertainment, infotainment ecosystem with just a bunch of bullshit. But people, much like with TV, you just turned on the TV and be like, oh, the reporter man does not lie to me. Yes, he mm-hmm. did. Yes, he was actually getting that stuff from the CIA and he was lying to you. We'll talk about that in a future episode. But like, you know, now I think people go, oh, look, it's a podcast. Like, I trust those people. And you're like, they could be getting paid by the CIA. We're not. To clarify,
if you wanted
to give us a lot amount of money to like, y'all, first of all, we would flash it on the internet so you guys would know that we were being paid. And then we'd be like, oh, yeah, this is great. But we're not getting paid right now, so we'll tell you the truth.
No, I've never been contacted by the CIA, to my knowledge.
Yet.
Yeah, it is on my bucket list.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
If you've ever tried to get psychiatric care and hit a six-month wait list or bounced around between sketchy websites just trying to find someone who takes your insurance, Same. That's why I was so impressed with Tachiatry. It's actual psychiatric care with real doctors that works with your schedule and your insurance. It's not just another meditation app. It's real help without the wait.
What makes Tachiatry different is that it's not just therapy. It's full psychiatric care. That means you're meeting with a licensed medical provider who can actually diagnose conditions like anxiety, ADHD, insomnia, and more. And they can prescribe medication if that's part of your treatment. It's 100% online, but it still feels personal and thoughtful. You're not rushed and you're not left wondering what's next.
And the best part, it works with your insurance. No monthly subscription fees or paying out of pocket for every session. They've got over 600 in-network clinicians, and getting started takes just a few minutes. You fill out a short assessment, you get matched with someone who fits your needs, and then you can book your first appointment in days, not months. Tachiatry has helped over 300,000 people already, and it honestly just makes the whole process feel doable.
Head to tachiatry.com/creepy and complete the short assessment to get matched with an in-network psychiatrist in just a few minutes. That's tachiatry.com/creepy to get matched in minutes.
The other key Pizzagate website, WikiLeaks, did not survive the transition intact. The controversy revealed the once venerated site was now a partisan machine, willing to be used as a weapon against specific candidates. The credibility built by key releases in the Manning era was gone. Press freedom organizations that had defended Julian Assange for years found themselves unable to reconcile the site's noble start with what the 2016 operation clearly showed it had become.
Yeah, you can't be like, I'm going to be the Pentagon Papers and then turn into a literal shill for one candidate. It's like, you're either here for the truth or you're an operative. And it's like, you've chosen to be an operative.
Shit or get off the pot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the same metaphorical message, but
great question.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just wild how, and I've talked about this so much, but I lost sleep over it last night, just thinking about how we're really having to undo everything we've been told our entire lives, essentially, at least my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And reconcile with that and then try to like parse of like what is fact and what is fiction, what is blown out of proportion for fear mongering purposes versus this is an actual threat. And it's getting harder and harder to do. And the more we research, it's like, oh, it's also this thing. Okay. We also can't believe that anymore because mm-hmm. that was also perpetrated by, you know, the far right elite.
No, truly. Or you learn like, oh, we were told these things about clothing trends, or we were told these things about food and you shouldn't eat this food or you shouldn't have mm-hmm. this type of whatever. And when you trace it back, you're like, oh, it's because this like really rich person owned stake in this company, yeah. like this type of seed oil versus this type. You know what I mean? Just like all that to say, it's even more important now of like who's saying this?
Mm-hmm.
Because we had like experts and then you're like, and they're in the Epstein files.
Like, yeah. Oh, great. Or like Les Wexner, he owned Victoria's Secret, et cetera. So, and then he's in cahoots with Epstein. So yeah, from like 12 years old, mm-hmm. maybe even younger, girls are being told like, this is what you should look like. This is what the type of bra and lingerie you should wear. There's mannequins in stores that are of like children with bikinis or like a bra and panties on and stuff. And then we all grew up thinking like, oh my gosh, we have to have the flattest stomachs. We have to have the perfect body or we can't wear this. I can't tell you how many times like I was told, well, but you have big boobs, so you can't wear that like other girls can. And I'm like, well, I didn't ask for these. I'm just trying to wear a bikini. But like, I wear a bikini. I'm called a slut. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
No, definitely.
One of my friends that is an A cup can wear a bikini. And she's like, ah, you got nothing. There's no winning. There's no winning.
There's no winning. No, I think you're absolutely right. There is a slutification of curvier bodies. Like, you're just like, I'm just trying to exist with curves. And it's like, mm-hmm. I see you showing off that ass. It's like, can't help this ass. But you're right about Victoria's Secret. Their sizes only went up to a certain size.
Oh, yeah.
So then mm-hmm. it's like, everyone, you have to shop at this place. Oh, the sizes don't fit you. sounds like you're the problem. And it's like, no, it sounds like a company that only serves 25% of its intended market is the problem. And C, also, they had to spin it out because it almost went bankrupt. So it was a bad idea. But it's because they were not running a seeking to run a profitable business. You're seeking to run what appears to be some sort of a I don't want to say mind control, but you know, like crowd control, like public opinion control of like, we, the men that run this, believe women should look this way instead of going, I don't know, everybody looks every way. It's just, just how we be doing. There's a lot of ingredients that go into each mix that makes each of us. And it's just going to vary.
I remember sizing out of that store and being like, I'm never going to get a cute bra again. Like, you know, and just hating that, like, there weren't any companies that, like, made cute stuff for bigger. And I'm like, so we're all just supposed to look like fucking grandmas, like, matronly once I'm in my, you know, early 20s. And, like, I don't want to be wearing something that looks like this. But, like, no one was designing stuff for people like that back then. No, now there's more options.
But you're right. It was like a way to coerce us into changing our bodies because it was like, well, if you want to wear these things, you have to. And I talked to my friend from high school the other day who is male. And I was like, man, I spent so much time in high school, like, because I wanted a thigh gap. I wanted my hip bones to be this way. Like, did you ever think about like girls in terms of that? And he was just like, no, I wanted a girlfriend who was nice to me. Like I wasn't, you know, like, and it was so funny to hear how I felt so pressured in high school of like, oh my God, these specific weird things at 17 or Cosmo or whoever probably also were like they were printed by these same people, but that had drilled into my head so that I could attract men because that's who I'm interested in. And to talk to somebody who was like, we weren't even paying, like, he's like, no guys in school were paying attention to that. Like, we weren't thinking about that. So then you're like, oh, cool. It was just like an old pervert that made me worry about that for my whole life. Yeah.
Or yourself. I was reading something yesterday that, I mean, we've talked about this too, but just reiterating the fact that no one is thinking about you as much as you're thinking about yourself. And I have spent so much of my life worried about what other people will think or trying to change the way I am, like physically, mentally, emotionally, to perform to some gaze that was not G-A-Y-S. I'll perform for those gaze anytime. G-A-Z-E. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, it was, like you said, all for these men that are disgusting pedophiles. And all it did for me was make me real depressed and have an eating disorder. Same. And then, you know, I still like wasn't happy with how I looked. And that's just how it was in the 90s.
When you're like, maybe you all just hate women. Because like you said earlier, if you're big, they hate you. If you're too small, they hate you. If you're in the middle, well, probably you won't talk to me, so you're a slut too. So it's like there is all these. And so I welcome the male gaze, much like Medusa did. So look upon me, and I will kill you.
I'll turn you to stone, bitch. Snakes in my stone. Head.
But yeah,
Medusa's always been one of my favorites.
My favorite, absolutely.
Yeah, she's a good one.
Hell yeah.
Legal repercussions soon followed. In March 2017, Trump's new Attorney General Jeff Sessions recused himself from all Russia-related matters after it emerged that he had failed to disclose his own meetings with Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak during the campaign. Sessions, a Republican and former senator from Alabama, had been one of Trump's earliest and most prominent political supporters. The AG's recusal made Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein the acting authority to appoint an investigator into the email hacking scandal.
So initially, you're about to have Jeff Sessions, who was already fucking with the Russians, be in charge of who is going to investigate. It's very Pam Bondi of all of it, that you're the one that's involved in this and you're the one that's now supposed to, to investigate it. But at least in Trump 1, in the 45th presidency, they would recuse themselves and say like, okay, well, you got me. I'm friends with him. I was friends with the Russians. You got me. And it's crazy how entrenched the Russians were with Trump's campaign during the campaign and even in the very early days of it. This is March. Mm-hmm. Like he had just gotten sworn in and we have to be like, I got to recuse myself. I was talking to the Russians.
Yeah. And even still.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In May 2017, Trump fired FBI Director James Comey, 3 years into a 10-year term. To investigate the Russian connection instead, Rosenstein appointed Robert Mueller, a Republican, decorated Vietnam veteran, and former FBI director from 2001 to 2013, under both George W. Bush and Barack Obama, Mueller was considered by bipartisan consensus to be one of the most credible law enforcement figures of his generation. Even so, President Trump repeatedly called his investigation
a witch hunt. And if you want to talk about witch hunts, James Comey was indicted today. Today, the Trump administration indicted him for posting a picture of 8647. Talk about a witch hunt, though, that you are now indicting the former director of the FBI for taking a photo of seashells that outline 8647. And the caption was, "Saw some seashells on my walk this morning." And now the sensitive president is indicting the former FBI director for that.
8647?
Yeah, meaning like 86, like get rid of Trump, 47. Which is 47. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well,
he was offended by that.
Someone took a lot of time with a bunch of pretty shells to make that, and I think it's lovely.
Yeah, I mean, he's been trying to find some way to prosecute Comey for years. I think it probably, you know, goes back to this as well, you know, fire him early on. And the idea is the FBI directors serve not at the pleasure of the president, like that they're supposed to be dedicated to just law enforcement and not mm-hmm. be your buddy. But that is not what's been happening since the 45th.
Mueller's eventual report formally documented the chain from the Russian GRU hack, the WikiLeaks drop, to Roger Stone, to the Trump campaign. Through his investigation, Mueller was able to secure indictments for 12 Russian GRU officers for the hack of the Democratic National Committee and John Podesta's personal email account. The indictment named the specific units, the spear phishing techniques, and the cryptocurrency payments used to fund the operation. The emails were formally documented as Russian military intelligence assets. Mueller's team further documented that WikiLeaks had been in direct contact with Guccifer 2.0, the GRU hacker persona, while the operation was running. A key piece of evidence was a message sent on July 6, 2016, sent by WikiLeaks to the Russians, saying,
"If you have anything Hillary-related, we want it."
Well,
they were already working against her.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. For years. And yeah, she didn't stand a chance.
No. And
she stood a chance with the people. But when those in charge just buy everything, it doesn't really matter what the votes are, then you don't stand a chance.
I also have a new theory about John Podesta, which we'll have to talk about in another episode, with his relation to potential scientists and research, but it makes me curious whether and to what extent him accidentally clicking the spear phishing was maybe not. Maybe it was truly an accident, but I don't know. If you're an insider trying to sabotage a campaign you're working on, that'd be giving everybody access to, like, I don't know, all the emails would be a pretty mm-hmm. helpful thing to do. But he has not been indicted or, you know, convicted or nothing. Like, it all apparently, to this point, it seems to be an accident. But he's got some other connections we'll investigate later on. But it's made me turn a crooked eye at John Podesta.
I turned a crooked eye at him when his brother has all that disgusting pedo art.
Because, yeah, it's weird stuff.
I mean, you know, not saying if one brother in the family is like that, they all are. But, you know, you all know what you're doing.
Depends on, yeah, I mean, it's like, well, sometimes if you're real close to that sibling, we can make some leaps that aren't leaps, they're hops.
On January 25th, 2019, Mueller indicted Roger Stone, Trump's longtime political operative and self-described back channel to WikiLeaks, on 7 counts, including obstruction, making false statements to Congress, and witness tampering. After a trial, a federal jury deliberated for less than 2 days before finding Stone guilty on all 7 counts in November of 2019. President Trump then commuted Stone's sentence in July 2020 and issued a full pardon that December. He returned to lobbying and now hosts a weekly radio show in New York.
Yeah, he got like $600,000 from a cryptocurrency guy in exchange, supposedly going to be exchanged for a presidential pardon. I don't think he delivered the presidential pardon. He got, $400,000 from a tribe in Louisiana to like try and lobby, you know, just making, I guess, trying to trade financially on his connections to the Trump administration. And it worked because, I mean, he at least got pardoned and now he can just be free and host his radio show.
Yeah, which Trump loves to pardon people.
That's his favorite.
Mm-hmm. Michael Flynn had tweeted Pizzagate content in early November 2016 while being vetted to serve as Trump's incoming national security advisor. In December 2017, Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI about his documented contacts with Russian ambassador Sergei Kislyak. He cooperated with Mueller's investigation, providing what court papers described as
substantial assistance.
3 years later, Flynn moved to withdraw his guilty plea before Trump eventually pardoned him in November 2020. Flynn was later awarded $1.2 million from the U.S. government to settle a claim of malicious prosecution.
Yeah, he pleaded guilty and he said, "This is a coordinated effort to pursue an innocent man." Bitch, you pleaded guilty. Why do you get
guilty?
$1.2 million of your money and my money. Those are mine and your dollars. As you listen to this, each of us gave Michael Flynn a dollar. Like, yeah. What? Are you kidding me? I wouldn't give him, I'd give him a punch in the mouth. I wouldn't give him a dollar. No. Yeah, that's how it works.
Julian Assange had been indicted on 17 counts under the Espionage Act in 2019. After 5 years in London's Belmarsh prison, fighting extradition, he negotiated a plea deal with the U.S. Justice Department in June 2024, pleading guilty to a single count of conspiracy to obtain and disclose classified national defense information. He received a sentence of time already served, never stood trial in the United States, and returned to his native Australia, where he lives today.
Everybody lives happily ever after, yeah, except nobody, all of us.
Zero consequences.
No, there's none.
Do whatever you want. There's no consequences.
You just get to go live on the beautiful countryside.
Yeah. You're pardoned. You get millions of dollars. Yeah. You get to go live wherever you want.
Radio show for some people. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The platforms that had hosted and amplified the entire operation faced Congress. In three separate hearings in 2017, executives from Twitter, Facebook, and Google expressed what Rolling Stone's Amanda Robb described as choreographed contrition. A Facebook vice president said it
pains us as a company
that foreign actors had
abused our platform.
Twitter's general counsel said that he was
troubled. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
For lunch today, I had a toasted hero bagel with some scrambled eggs and cheese on it, one of my favorite breakfast sammies, and it was so good. Tommy was like, "Do you want me to make you something?" He said, "We've got hero bagels. Do it." That's all you had to say, because it's so good. Can't tell any difference. It's from a traditional bagel company. It's, in fact, better, because I feel better when I'm eating it, because I'm like, this is better for me, so I feel better eating it.
That's right. With Hero Bread, you can focus on your health goals, but still indulge in the soft, fluffy experience you love, like enjoying a delicious breakfast sammy with egg and cheese on a toasted bagel like Christy. Call it the Christy Delight. You can also make yourself some avocado toast.
No, that's already a thing.
Oh, okay, never mind. Just I don't know if and it doesn't come on a bagel. But you can also enjoy soup with a grilled cheese, a burger night with the whole family, Taco Tuesday. Their products are delicious, flavorful, ultra low net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, high in fiber, and you just attack that baby like it's, you know, like it's nothing.
Like it's
just
nothing, yeah.
Take it down.
The pasta's great. The sliced bread is great. The bagels are great. Everything that we've ever had from them is great. Our kids love it too. And it just makes eating bread, you don't feel as like bogged down, you know? I mean, obviously you can't have bread that isn't gluten, but like when you eat a bunch of like heavy bread and then you're just like, well, now I'm just a lump on the couch. I can't move around. Hero Bread does not make you feel like that.
Hero Bread is a hero. You never know it's low net carb and high fiber bread from the texture. You get that soft, fluffy experience you know and love with all of the delicious sammies you're going to make, all the treats, a fold over sandwich, perhaps anything you want to make. Hero Bread's got the bread for you.
Small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular 2 gram net carb hero croissant and 5 gram net carb hero noodles. Those noodles, so good. The croissant, I got to get my hands on some of those.
Come to me, croissant. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code creepy at checkout. That's creepy at hero.co.
No binding federal legislation on platform accountability passed. Section 230, the federal law that shields internet platforms from legal liability for content posted by their users, was debated but ultimately left unchanged.
So the platforms were fine. Steve Bannon was fine. I think the only person
Everybody's fine.
The only person that got a little bit of backlash was Milo Yiannopoulos because he got dropped by Breitbart for comments appearing to defend child sexual abuse.
So he did.
But I think what it, the podcast appearance that kind of he had done it and then he was doing all this QAnon Pizzagate stuff. Milo was and then eventually was exposed. I say exposed. People brought up this interview for him where he talked about how it's important older men and younger boys to have relationships. He used that phrase. He said some of those relationships between younger boys and older men, those coming of age relationships, the relationships in which those older men have helped those young boys to discover who they are and give them security and safety and provide them with love and a reliable rock where they can't speak to their parents. So,
oh, that last part really, they said the quiet part out loud.
He did. Someone asked, I think he was asked directly, are you promoting cross-generational relationships, which is the not, we're not letting the rebranding of pedophilia. Kid fucking does not get to be called cross-generational relationships. He replied, yeah, I don't mind admitting that. And I think particularly in the gay world and outside the Catholic Church, if that's where you want to go with it, I think in the gay world, some of the most important, enriching, and incredibly life-affirming, important shaping relationships very often between younger boys and older men that can be hugely positive experiences. And the much like Megyn Kelly, when he was pushed that maybe you sound like you're defending pedophilia, he said, you're misunderstanding what pedophilia means. Pedophilia is not an attraction to somebody who's 13 years old and who's sexually mature. Okay, Megyn Kelly, what?
It isn't.
What? Yes, it is.
I thought that was like the exact definition.
But Milo said he believes that sexual relationships between a 13-year-old and adults can, quote, happen perfectly consensually. I think he later became Catholic. He later also, I think, started supporting
Catholic guilt. He's trying to pray it away.
And then something happened. He started working with Kanye West on Kanye's presidential campaign. And then,
oh my God, I forgot about that. Jesus Christ. What a timeline this has been.
He also worked as an unpaid intern for Marjorie Taylor Greene before the Kanye thing. But anyways, he eventually resigned from Yeezy because Kanye, I guess, announced an adult entertainment division, but I don't think that ever materialized. So anyways, all that to say, you know, he's still making money somewhere. Grifter's going to grift, so he's probably out, you know, appearing on some Nazi show. But all that to say, if you're like, oh, that Milo guy, he just was out for Gamergate for a minute. No, it turns out he's a big fucking pervert.
Yeah. I mean, oh, we're shocked. Somebody that was involved with that is a pervert. I mean, oh, the older men with younger boys is just so upsetting to hear people talk about, because those are the exact conversations going on in these online forums where it's just people boosting you up and telling you, giving advice on how to do it, like encouraging it. It's just this echo chamber. And then you say it to someone that isn't involved in all that, and you're like, what did you just say? Oh, yeah, I guess when I do say it out loud to other people, it doesn't sound great.
You're like, yeah, you sound like the actual perverts that you were alleging that QAnon or whoever was. Like, oh, look at this guy that's living his regular life running a pizza and ping pong restaurant. Meanwhile, an actual pervert is the one that's writing the articles. That's the crazy flipped up world that we're living in. But that's how good Steve Bannon is. But they did, you know, CPAC fired Milo when this all came out and everything. So like I said, I think he is much like we've seen with this. Oh, you get kicked off 4chan, you end up on 8chan. You get kicked off YouTube, you end up on Rumble. So it's like he got kicked off. There's no such thing as canceling anymore. It's just like finding a new, worse market.
That's true, yeah. In April 2018, Reddit CEO Steve Huffman announced the platform had identified and banned 944 accounts linked to Russia's Internet Research Agency. He noted that IRA-linked accounts had made 316 posts to the Donald subreddit. Not only that, that the operation had been running largely undetected for years. In June 2019, Reddit quarantined the Donald for violent content. In February 2020, it was placed in restricted mode. That June, the subreddit was banned outright for the cited reason of
frequent rule breaking, antagonizing the company in other communities, and failing to meet our most basic expectations.
By then, moderators had been migrating users to a site called thedonald.win for months. Academic researchers later found that migrations like this, where users move away from mainstream sites, lead to increased toxicity at the destination with an even more concentrated user base.
They don't want us to say that on Reddit. We'll come over to thedonald.win.
You get all the heavy hitters, so like people that are deep, deep into it, not just, you know, casual viewers. These are like the worst of the worst that you've now congregated in a smaller, concentrated user base.
With less rules to no rules at all. And the funny part about all this is we had Trump say throughout his first term, there's no collusion. I didn't work with Russia. There was no collusion with Russia. My thing is if you're in a car, a stall vehicle, and some people come up and start pushing you, and you turn around and go, thanks, I'll remember this. Keep pushing me. And then more people join you, and you're like, thanks. Is that not, and you're steering while they're pushing your car? You're kind of working together to move the vehicle. And you go, well, no, my vehicle was stopped, and they're just coming up and pushing me. So all these Russians, real bots, a little bit of both, go into this page to pump him up, to pump up this conspiracy theory, to incite the base, to get a Gamergate type, like tight, angry group that you can control. And then to go, well, I didn't work with them though. Like I was just sitting in the vehicle and they started pushing it. It's like, we have evidence both from the Mueller investigation and this. The Russians literally got you elected. No. So then you as an American citizen just have to ask yourself why. Why would that, what, cui bono, like who benefits? Why would it be beneficial for Russia to have Donald Trump as a president? I don't know. That's a journey for you to take on your own.
Oh, man. If only we could ban the actual Donald for frequent rule breaking, antagonizing the company and other communities, and failing to meet our most basic expectations, because he certainly fails to meet mine.
I think those are all the qualifications for the 25th Amendment or impeachment. It's like,
right?
Frequent rule breaking is what you've been doing.
Like the worst of the rule
all the time,
too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
After the arrest of Jeffrey Epstein in July 2019, online searches and discussions surrounding Pizzagate surfaced once again. Journalist at Vice Media observed that
the Epstein scandal is giving QAnon everything Pizzagate couldn't.
Underscoring how the case provided conspiracy communities with something they had previously lacked, a real high-profile event that appeared to validate their claims. At the same time, Vanity Fair reported that new information was
reopening the Pizzagate box,
fueling spikes in social media activity and renewed efforts to interpret evidence through a conspiratorial lens. Yet, the framing of Epstein's crimes did not evolve in a neutral or evidence-driven way. Instead, existing narrative structures quickly reasserted themselves. Both Pizzagate and QAnon had long-centered accusations on Democratic political figures, and that pattern persisted even as Epstein's network spanned multiple spheres of wealth and influence. Rather than following the evidence wherever it led, online discourse often redirected attention toward pre-existing targets. The selective framing illustrates how conspiracy systems tend to incorporate new information in ways that reinforce prior beliefs rather than challenge them.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like people didn't see this and go, oh, look, like, well, Hillary was obviously not involved in the sex stuff, but Bill clearly was. Like, we have these pictures of him with this girl. How old is she? We can't tell. You know, is she a teen? Is she in her early 20s? And to then assess that against what you had already developed. But instead, it was like, well, look, it proved Pizzagate was real. All 3 million emails proved that everything we said about Pizzagate was real. And in fact, no, nope. Like, it's a part of it and part of it, but you can't just wholesale attach it, but they don't.
What we talked about last time, like you put in bits of truth into a lot of false things that you're putting out there, and it's hard to parse between the two.
Mm-hmm. To know, and especially if you are part of the entrenched, like you're the one that's helping coordinate other people's research and all this QAnon stuff and how it really took over people's lives. If you're faced with new information, you don't just immediately go, I guess all that was bullshit. Mm-hmm. It's just like, no, it actually proves what I've been doing because it's so painful for it to be fake.
It is. It's that, you know, I mean, the reckoning with yourself of having to believe and admit that everything I've been taught was wrong. I was had. Like, this isn't the truth. And that's a very uncomfortable thing for people to do. And many of them choose not to, and instead we'll just live in the kind of blinders on world that they've set up for themselves.
I mean, lose their families and their jobs sometimes, their grip on reality. Yeah. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Complicating the dynamic was the broader media and political ecosystem in which these narratives circulated. Reporting confirmed that Epstein maintained ties to powerful elites, described by PBS NewsHour as
a network of the rich and powerful, despite his sex offender status.
At the same time, figures like Steve Bannon were associating with media environments that amplified populist and conspiratorial narratives. It quickly became clear that the information environment was primed to rapidly absorb and reshape the meaning of Epstein's arrest.
Yeah, and I mean, if you go back now, we have the benefit of the files to come out that there was conversations between Bannon and Epstein all in 2018 and up to 2019, really highlighting that in the months before Epstein's arrest, about January of 18 through July 19, when he was arrested, that he and Bannon and Epstein were close. I mean, hundreds of emails, text messages. Bannon was fixing to go on TV and Epstein would be like, oh, do this. This is what you should say, how you should say it. Bannon called him God in one of the messages. Epstein told somebody else with regards to Steve Bannon, oh, we've become friends. Mm-hmm. So stuff like that, you know, you see Epstein is offering private jet access, booking him a trip to Heathrow, chartering flights to Scotland, setting him up on a date in Paris. Like, it's funny to me that I think Steve Bannon thought he was playing Epstein, when in reality, I think Epstein was probably playing Steve Bannon, or they were playing each other.
I think they're playing each other, yeah.
But yeah.
Each of them thinking they're winning, which is just too pedophilic alpha males going after one another.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like messages of Bannon saying stuff like, you know, Epstein saying, oh, I might have to testify publicly, and Bannon saying, you don't have to worry personally because I'm sending you somewhere beyond extradition. Mm-hmm. Of like, we're in some type of a cahoots. Or Epstein told Bannon, you know, now you understand why Trump wakes up in the middle of the night sweating when he hears you and I are friends. So there was something going on in I believe it was the final text that Bannon received from Epstein the night of the arrest, and it was just the phrase "all canceled."
Interesting.
So I don't know what that means, but Bannon does have 15 hours of unreleased documentary footage of interviews with Epstein that he alleged. Bannon's always been a release the Epstein files guy. He said it, God, way back in 2023. Like, he said, you know, this is number one, it's the crimes against children, but number two, it's what the trafficking was used for. Like, I guess meaning deals among powerful people and political deals and stuff. And he's like, Trump's going to take the Epstein file and show who murdered him. It was you, probably. But Mark Epstein has said release the interview footage. So maybe we'll see it someday. But
maybe.
But he, you know, Dinesh D'Souza, Alex Jones, Elon Musk have all pointed out, like, Steve Bannon was kind of best friends with this guy.
Yeah. I mean, there's pictures in the files of the two of them sitting at Epstein's desk with a framed picture of what looks to be a minor passed out on right there in plain view next to his computer.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's pictures of Bannon all over Epstein's house. You know, there's in the background or whatever. I mean, when Roger Stone is like, really, why would you meet with Jeffrey Epstein, Steve Bannon? I'm like, Roger Stone now has a moral high ground over you.
And that shows you just how disgusting they are. If it had to get to that for him to have an opinion like that.
An opinion. But you think like, oh, why would Epstein give Bannon an Apple Watch? Oh, I don't know. To like fucking listen to every conversation because he's arrested.
Track his location. be in the room for everything. Mm-hmm. And Bannon's not an idiot. In fact, he's very smart, which is why he's able to do these things. He knows who gave him that watch.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, excuse me, Mr. President, could you speak a little? Could you speak a little louder here into my Apple Watch?
Uh-huh.
Like, what are you doing?
Absolutely.
No.
This process reflects what researchers describe as a form of
reverse recuperation,
in which reality is not corrected by facts, but instead absorbed into existing belief systems. Academic research notes that
disinformation distorts public understanding of human trafficking,
while analyses of QAnon show how it
incorporates Pizzagate into a broader conspiracy framework.
Epstein's crimes did not disrupt conspiracy thinking. They were reinterpreted as confirmation of it. Details that aligned with existing beliefs were heightened, while contradictions were minimized or reframed, creating a feedback loop in which real events strengthened conspiratorial worldviews. At the same time, the case revealed a striking paradox. Federal prosecution confirmed serious systemic abuse involving a wealthy and well-connected individual. Yet years of misinformation had already eroded public trust in how such crimes are understood. Scholars warn that conspiracy movements like QAnon
undermine legitimate anti-trafficking efforts
by reframing real issues in ways that are sensationalized and politicized. As a result, even as genuine crimes were being exposed, the public's ability to process them accurately was compromised by the very narratives claiming to reveal them.
Yeah, and I think when Epstein was initially arrested, and we did our episode on it too, we're kind of like, well, you know, it's wild that QAnon was talking about this pedo network, and it would appear that there's some type of pedo network absent all of the, you know, now the materials we have like 4 or 5 years later, we couldn't have known how right we were. But it's just there's such a sad, bittersweet irony to it all, where these people who were ingrained in, no, like there is a weird cabal of these pedophiles, like I'm so sure about it, and you're like, yeah, there is, though. Like it's just, maybe it doesn't look like they're not making pizza restaurant signs, they're not making like the whole deal of, you know, Pizzagate was like, oh, this restaurant, if you line up all, you know, their locations on a map, it comes out to like a pentagram or whatever. They're not doing that, but they are abusing kids. Like, yeah, that's true. And sometimes in very gruesome ways, in ways that, you know, go beyond, you know, what we think of as exploitation. Like, oh, you know, you exploited them by making them pageant girls. No, it's like you took them and held them down and there were multiple people involved. But it's wild that they'd almost like the people that followed the conspiracies, like didn't want to reconcile that. No, it is true. Like, but you were right. Cause it is scary. You're chasing the Bigfoot. And it turns around and it's real and it's about to get you.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. The noise I just made was me just thinking about everything in the room.
Gestures broadly.
Yeah. But I think that can be applied to so many things, especially like the episode we're going to do next and stuff. But like, there's a lot of things that people, I wouldn't say they're fun to think about. There are conspiracies that people get very hyper fixated on and wrapped up in. And it's like Pepe Silva style with the strings and stuff. And it's all fun and games for them and like interesting and morbidly interesting until they're like, oh my God, I wasn't wrong. This is really happening. And then what are you going to do with that information when you discover all the stuff you thought was a conspiracy is true?
And the cognitive dissonance of the person I was told is the hero that's going to save us all was one of the worst perpetrators, like beyond comprehension. The fact that we have a serial potentially killer, but at the very least a serial sex predator as in like the highest power is not surprising, I guess, given, you know, like you said, the public's willingness to ingest violence and cheer on violence in some cases. And in this way, to almost be willingly led down a primrose path to be like, but they said he's a hero. And it's like, well, I can watch, I'll show you like 30 videos in a row that he's a sex predator. And it's like, no, but this anonymous thing on the internet said that's all an act and that he's a hero. And it's like, what do you even do to help a person like that get out of that hole?
It was like the interview we were listening to where one of the callers was explaining to the host of the show how his family, his immediate family, worships Trump in a godlike way. They were like, they don't pray for Trump, they pray to Trump. And the reality is, like, they think of him as God, that he is absent of sin, that he has been sent here to help us. That is cult mentality, 101. Mm-hmm. That is a cult. He says on the call, like, they're in a cult. My own family is in a cult. And they are. I mean, there are people that are Republican that are not Trump Republicans. And in fact, even the host is like, aren't you a Republican? He says, I'm a Lincoln Republican. Mm-hmm. I believe in no slavery, which I don't know what a Lincoln Republican means, but it seems like a way of reframing, like, I'm not a MAGA Republican. I'm one of the good Republicans. Which, you know, I mean, he's not nearly as bad as his family, but, and she said, do you have a relationship with him? No.
You can't.
How can you talk to somebody that believes that? And if you're so entrenched and dug in those beliefs, it becomes your whole life, your whole personality.
Yeah, it was, I think that was maybe a C-SPAN caller or something. It was Mediaite posted it, but it was disturbing to hear the how conflated it's become between religion and politics, that it is not. We are, you know, a Catholic family who, you know, votes in this way, and you've completely supplanted your own religion for a literal, just a very flawed mortal man.
Yeah.
But it's being fed this steady diet of bullshit is in fact what it is. But it's heart-wrenching for guys like that, who it's their family. You know, I have extreme empathy for you feeling like it's like your family got into Scientology all of a sudden or whatever, and you're like, you're a suppressive person. You don't understand Xenu or whatever. And if you're like, you don't understand, Trump's trying to save you, you fucking ingrateful inserts.
And all
here.
The comments are like, MAGA's destroyed my family. I don't talk to my parents anymore because of this. Like, it's just created a rift that is never going to be repaired. And that's so sad.
It's super sad. And MAGA is the framework that we've been discussing the last four episodes. And I appreciated how the guy used the interchangeably MAGA as a noun, like we would with Nazis. Like the Nazis did this, the MAGAs believe this, because I think in retrospect, as we are analyzing what has happened to us for the last 10 years with this intense digital media push to, that had real world consequences, not just with the Pizzagate shooter, but I mean, like, people going out and voting, marching, whatever, like cutting off their family members for this. Then when we go back and figure out, like, the beginning, the genesis of MAGA was these episodes, like, was what we're talking about, was 4chan and Reddit and Pizzagate and all that shit.
It was trickled out to you and spoon fed to people. And that's your own. Part of it's the government. Other people are just best friends with the government. But whatever, they're all evil people that only have their interest in mind, and their interests are dark and evil.
Yeah, just and that's what Steve Bannon and Donald Trump and everybody, they see you as like a bowl of sand for them to put their hand through and mess with. They have no regard for the individual, you know, grains. And that, you know, that's what Bannon was looking for, was like, what's a thing I can grab and turn into a weapon? It's like, oh, a big bucket of white men who are pissed off. Okay, I'll aim them, aim fire.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. Crazy to live through. Sucks to live through.
It does.
Hopefully you're listening to this 10 years later and you could be like, aren't things great now?
It's quite a time to be alive. Mm-hmm. Every day something happens. I mean, we haven't talked about it since the third, quote unquote, assassination attempt occurred.
Yeah.
Which the only way it could be more comical was literally if the office music was playing behind it. It was so staged, so ridiculous. Again, this alleged shooter also has ties to these missing scientists. Like, it's all wrapped up together.
And was it filmed with Usha Vance at an event as well, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, yes.
But it's probably just a coincidence.
I think it's, people are like, there's no way all of this is connected. And you're like, or is that exactly how easy it is? And why wouldn't it all be connected? It all has the same end goal. So, of
control.
Course, the Venn diagram, and like pedophilia, trafficking, money, power, control, keeping bloodlines the same, like they all have the same end goal. Of course, they're all wrapped up in it. They've been wrapped up in it since long before we even had any idea this was going on.
Oh, no, for certainly. So it's, it's a genius thing that Steve Bannon has done, where you're like, we should pepper as like 50% of truth and 50% of the most insane stuff. So then nobody will know what anything and flood the zone. Nobody will know what's going on. Yeah, I have not seen a staging as madcap as this third assassination attempt since the Noise Is Off production I watched at the Texas Thespian Convention like 20 years ago. Like,
first of all, great play.
But I was like, this is nuts to just
it's
watch.
It's insanity.
Stephen Miller, I saw him squeezing his wife's titty trying to run away. And someone said he squeezed his favorite titty, the Reich one, which is funny. But Donald Trump is in the background. You were almost assassinated, and you're just like,
he's just standing behind the curtain, like in the wings.
What is happening?
Just like, it's this looming figure. And people are like, he was into it.
He like, smiled.
He wants to sit there and see it all unfold. Mm-hmm. And did you see the photo that someone captured of Hegseth moments after this all went down? Backstage, I don't know, whatever room they went to. Just casual, laughing, like, and in a way where it's not a nervous laughter. It is very much
relief.
Look,
we knew that.
What we just got away with.
Yeah, because I did see the footage of Hegseth beforehand walking through the ballroom, and his jaw was just back and forth, just sawing.
He was highest of slopes, skiing like, all the way through that dinner.
I'm ready for the dinner. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is happening? But yeah, just watching Cash Patel just sitting there going, huh?
Oh my God.
This is wild. Hit the deck, brother. Yeah. So yeah, it was the C-SPAN footage of it, I think, was probably the most damning because it was just zoomed in on Trump and watching him smiling while Melania was shocked. And it's like, he's too demented to even be like, you got to pretend like you're afraid. Mm-hmm. Like, you should at least like for 2 seconds. And then the coordinated efforts, like 12 minutes afterward, everybody starts tweeting, this is the ballroom. The answer is obviously the ballroom. Mm-hmm. We've all got to have a ballroom. Do you fucking hear yourselves? Do you hear yourselves? I'll never hear the word ballroom again, by the way, and not think of this grift, which was like, we just got to make it look real dangerous. And then we'll get a ballroom.
Yeah.
I'm like, you just left the front doors open. That's why it was dangerous. Maybe have a metal detector. I've been frisked harder going to a Dallas Mavericks game than going to the room where the fucking president is.
Also, the guy didn't even get in the room where the president was.
No.
So, and the Secret Service shot the other guy. Wasn't even a threat. I don't know. I could go on and on. And maybe that's a future episode. But it's to the ones that follow him blindly and just religiously, this is just more. Yeah, we do need to spend $400 million on a ballroom at the White House. What do you think they're doing underground there, dumb fucks?
It's like he's like, well, I need somewhere to escape to where no one can get me.
This is one of my many bunkers / den of inequities where any type of horrible thing can occur.
No, truly. No, I was like, you get that man a bunker, he's going to nuke somebody. We're all fucked.
Oh, 100%.
So don't do that. Don't let him finish it. If you work on the bunker, leave one of the doors open or something. Keep us, do us all a favor.
Just get a rock and, you know, hold one of those back doors open.
Yeah.
Just tweet out a code.
Yeah, just so some of the juice gets in, because he's going to cause it. He should have to pay for it, too.
I think so, too.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The situation intensified in August 2019 when Epstein died in jail while awaiting trial. His death became an immediate catalyst for further speculation, widely interpreted within conspiracy communities as evidence of a cover-up. Rather than resolving uncertainty, it deepened suspicion and reinforced beliefs in hidden networks operating beyond accountability. In this sense, Epstein's death served as a second inflection point, amplifying the same dynamics set in motion by his arrest. Taken together, these events trace a clear trajectory. A real-world criminal case triggered a surge in conspiracy discourse, which was quickly shaped by pre-existing narratives, selectively framed, and ultimately absorbed into a broader belief system. As new information emerged, it reinforced, rather than challenged, those frameworks, while public understanding of trafficking became increasingly distorted. Epstein's death then intensified these dynamics, solidifying a narrative environment in which reality and conspiracy no longer function as opposites, but instead merge in ways that can simultaneously reveal and obscure the truth.
Yeah, it definitely gave him a nugget, the him dying, and then it was like he didn't kill himself, and it became a new meme. We had Pizzagate, then we had QAnon, then the new meme was Epstein didn't kill himself, which is true, but then it became a meme. So then we're like, is it true or is it a meme? It's like the Gooners, which is a whole other separate thing we won't get into.
My God.
But there, you know, there's like
and
a,
I
we've gooned
discovered
too close to
something
sun.
The other night, and I haven't stopped thinking about it since.
We gooned too close to the moon, it sounds like. But no, but it's like, you know, where you can't tell these young people that are so terminally online and filming themselves. So they're they have this like Nathan Fieldery, like who I love, but like this sense of like, I'm being filmed and this is not real.
This
so
is then, all a bit.
Right. So then Epstein didn't kill himself is a bit, but it's also true. So then it further blurs those lines, which is, and then Steve Bannon and Donald Trump are like, oh, good. That's what we wanted, actually. Thanks. Yeah.
You just, I mean, you don't even have to work that hard. You just throw it out there because again, and like
wave.
People will do it for you. The internet will take it on and it's no longer yours. Mm-mm. If you want to get it back, you can't. You're fucked. Mm-mm. And they didn't want to. So it was great for them.
No, the wave has begun and the people that started it have no, you can't stop it. Think about if you started the wave at the stadium, you can't stop it.
No.
Even if you sit down, there's people above, below, all on sides of you. It just keeps going.
Even if you start screaming, stop the wave.
Stop the wave.
People are going to be like, shut up. It's fun. Sit down.
Yeah. And you're like, I'm the one that started it. Doesn't matter.
We don't care. It's ours now.
Fuck you. No, seriously.
By January 2025, the legacy of Pizzagate had already turned deadly. Edgar Welch, the man who fired a rifle inside Comet Ping Pong in 2016, after believing he was rescuing trafficked children, was shot and killed by police during a traffic stop. His death underscored a persistent reality. Pizzagate was never just an online conspiracy. It had already produced real-world violence, and its narrative remained available for revival the moment a new catalyst emerged.
Yeah, he served 4 years because he pled guilty to assault with a dangerous weapon and transporting a firearm over state lines, and got pulled over by police, had a warrant out for his arrest. And when the officers came up, the police said he pulled a handgun, pointed at one of the officers. He was instructed to drop the weapon. He didn't. And the two officers shot him and he died 2 days later from his injuries. But you also have people who are like, well, that's because he really knew something. And so the police killed him. And you're like, well, or it could be a person that maybe doesn't follow instructions super good. Like, don't drive across state lines with a rifle to shoot up a pizza store. So,
but the thing is, like, or a little bit of both, you know?
Right?
I mean, it's hard to determine, like, what's fact versus fiction. A little from column A, a little from column B.
Right. It's like, it's not to say that does not happen where someone gets pulled over and they get killed. But it's like, it also happens like that January 6er guy who... you know, was like, I'm not going back. And then he dies in a shootout with cops. You can watch the camera footage. Like the guy, he instigated it and freaked out and like making me have, you know, empathy for the police officer. Cause this person is like off their rocker. Like you don't know what they're about to grab, what they're about to do. And so I think you gotta, in that case, you know, the January 6er guy had incurred upon him, you know, the deadly force, but and probably in this case as well. But I think people on the internet could kind of take anything and go, well, look what they did to Edgar Madison Welch.
Is that the one? I remember a video where the cop was clearly he was like, don't do it, man.
He was
so upset that to have to do this. And then as soon as he did, we don't love cops. I don't think all cops are bad. I think there's some good ones out there that
we've covered episodes. Yeah.
Are trying to really do what the job should be doing. And they're real people. When you shoot, when you take somebody's life, even if they were coming for you, the trauma that that comes with that is unimaginable.
Certainly.
So it's easy, you know, I think to watch something and say like, well, he had it coming. For either side, the human in me still feels compassion and, you know, a sense of humanity.
No, certainly. And all that to say is, like, for the January 6er guy, you know, if someone were to say, well, that cop was part of the deep state and was going to kill him, it's like, well, watch the video. He's a heartbroken person mm-hmm. whose physical space was threatened, who, to be fair, appeared to have all the training that we all call for, which is to mm-hmm. say, de-escalation, everything. Now, was a January 6er a white guy? Certainly. Did that help? Who knows? But he did what we asked for, which is to say, like, please don't. Please stop. Please put the weapon down. And when he came at him, you know, you got to make that split second decision. And it's a very disturbed individual who would mm-hmm. storm, I think, January 6th and was just like, I'm not going back. I got pardoned by Trump. And I think, and it's crazy to hear him kind of go like, I'm a J6er. Like,
yeah.
And then you feel bad for these people that you're like, oh no, you've been lied to that you're a hero and you're mm-hmm. actually in fact a criminal, but you've been given sort of the trappings of a hero. So why wouldn't you behave that way?
And you were let out because yeah. they like what you're doing and yeah. they want a bunch of people out there that are going to continue to do things like storm the Capitol and, you know, open carry and cause a bunch of upset wherever they go. Mm-hmm. That's their bread and butter. Of course, look at all these people he's pardoned just in mm-hmm. this episode. And then seriously. Every January 6er gets pardoned. That's fucking unheard of.
Yeah, it's like, go free, be free, go back and do whatever you were doing. It's because Bannon's kind of like, those are all the guys that we actually recruited yeah, to do these things. Them. They actually did what we wanted them to do. Mm-hmm. And so we can't arrest them because they did what we told them to.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's truly, it's upsetting.
That catalyst arrived in January 2026 with the release of millions of pages of Epstein-related documents. Almost immediately, the same conspiratorial dynamics resurfaced. Vanity Fair reported that the files
reopened the conspiracy box
across X, TikTok, and Reddit, alongside spikes in search interest. The scale and ambiguity of the release, combined with the DOJ's acknowledgement that it included unverified or publicly submitted material, created an environment where insinuations spread faster than verification. What made the release especially combustible was not clear evidence of a unified conspiracy, but fragments, familiar names, partial connections, and repeated language. Terms like pizza appeared over 900 times, but the mainstream media emphasized these references were tied to ordinary food, not coded activity. Similarly, while Epstein's communications overlapped with powerful figures like Peter Thiel, those connections did not substantiate the sweeping claims circulating online. Instead, they provided just enough ambiguity to reactivate existing narratives.
And I think as we dig through who redacted the files, who decided what got redacted, names, dates, certain things, we will eventually know whether and to what extent things from QAnon and things from Pizzagate were true. But, you know, it's kind of the same people that were doing it were the ones deciding what to redact.
Yeah.
So it's like we weren't going to ever get.
No.
I think a lot of the stuff that's been revealed and traced and stuff was that they were hurriedly doing it and were just like, just hide Trump. Just hide Don, T, Don, anything, Donald, and just Trump. Just hide it. And did not realize I think, to what extent he could be connected through a bunch of other stuff, like emails of like hanging out with Don's kids or the Trump boys or whatever. So, eventually we'll get information, but the redactions, I think, gave people a green light to be like, look, this actually is this QAnon thing here, even though we all can tell by context clues that it was just really like Trump was probably fucking yeah. somebody, another
kid. And again, the things we're seeing are given to us. It's not as if mm-hmm. somebody handed you the hard drive and was like, and you get to look at all of it and you get to make your own decisions. And then you could really see everything and make some connections and decisions, but that's never going to happen.
Mm-mm.
You know, no, I mean, we get what they want us to see.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you said, it's never going to happen absent a huge overturn of the powers that be that are literally the key holders that won't, that, mm-hmm. I mean, that's why they're being sued by that journalist. Because yeah. we, the people, can't exercise our freedom of speech, our First Amendment right of reporting on this stuff. Cause we don't have all the information.
Mm-hmm.
The information we do have is Steve Bannon and Epstein. Best friends.
Oh,
we do
besties.
Know that.
We besties do know for that. Life. I'm sure they're hanging out on a beach somewhere right now.
For real. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite spots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Those narratives quickly defaulted to their original structure. As in 2016, attention disproportionately focused on Democratic figures, especially those associated with the Podesta emails, despite the broader and more politically widespread nature of Epstein's network. Online reactions cited by Vanity Fair illustrate this clearly, with users claiming the files proved
Pizzagate was real,
or reframing Epstein's crimes as confirmation of earlier conspiracy theories, rather than following evidence, discourse again bent toward pre-selected targets.
And it's also not super easy to explain. It was taking us four episodes, you know, to kind of really parse down who did what to whom. So it's not, so to just be like, Pizzagate's real, it's like, like we say, it's, but nobody likes nuance nowadays. You have to get something out in a 30-second clip. So that's what everybody's defaulted to.
Mm-hmm. The role of Steve Bannon highlights the contradictions within this ecosystem. Reporting shows Bannon working with Epstein after his conviction, advising on media strategy, and even developing a documentary project intended to rehabilitate Epstein's image, while simultaneously operating within political spaces that amplified anti-elite and conspiratorial rhetoric. Crucially, the broader findings of the Epstein investigation did not support the expansive claims circulating online. Reviews of Justice Department records found extensive evidence of Epstein's abuse of minors, but, quote, scant evidence of a coordinated trafficking network involving the wide array of public figures often named in conspiracy discourse. Individuals like John Podesta, Tony Podesta, and Marina Abramović appeared either minimally or only in tangential context, without investigative, testimonial, or documentary evidence linking them to Epstein's crimes. Even while Hillary Clinton was directly asked about Pizzagate in a 2026 deposition, the exchange reflected the persistence of the conspiracy itself rather than validation of its claims. After her testimony, Clinton called Pizzagate
one of the most vile, bogus conspiracy theories that was propagated on the internet. And I thought she was going to get up and walk out of her testimony when Lauren Boebert was like, let's talk about Pizzagate. I mean, she was going to walk out when Lauren Boebert snuck a picture of her.
Yeah.
Because she can't be serious.
That was it right there.
I'm just happy Lauren Boebert didn't jack anyone off her vape during the deposition testimony. But just
well, there
behavior.
Wasn't a Broadway show going on.
Yeah. She was like, I didn't hear the court, band strike up. So my hands were free. But no, I didn't. It's hard to see somebody who is an elected official who has an opportunity, truly could have asked questions, perhaps to the extent of like John Podesta connection or why do you think he was targeted or why, you know, whatever. But so, like I said, Lauren Boebert, if you're interested in Pizzagate and how Hillary Clinton might be involved, there were serious questions to have been asked. But instead, she went in and acted all clownish and, you know, not asking like fact-based questions, but almost trying to get a gotcha moment. Mm-hmm. And it is, as I can imagine for Hillary Clinton, given that possibly lost her the fucking presidency, probably a pretty sensitive subject to bring up. So it's like you could have threaded the needle a little easier, but Lauren Boebert's not a seamstress. She's a jacker-offer. So she's got a different skill set, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. A December 2016 email exchange between Epstein and his attorney, Reid Weingarten, shows the two men explicitly discussing the conspiracy during the 2016 presidential debate period. One email referencing Epstein's connection to the Clintons and Pizzagate is almost entirely redacted, except the end, where Weingarten signed off by saying,
"Yikes, my boy Jeffrey is everywhere."
What a thing for your attorney to say.
My boy Jeffrey is everywhere.
You're not wrong, Reid.
Man, he is.
But you are representing him.
Yeah, yep, yep.
The question the files leave open, and may never fully answer, is whether Pizzagate was a bogus conspiracy theory or whether it was a deliberate operation engineered by Bannon, amplified through Epstein's network, and designed to discredit real victims by pointing the audience at a pizza restaurant instead of the actual crimes. Even without a definitive answer, the files show how the fictional conspiracy and the real one occupied the same networked world, among many of the same people, at the same time. Whether that was intentional or not is the question no courtroom has yet been asked to answer. So what do we think?
Well, Steve Bannon remains one of the most listened to voices in the MAGA movement. He's got his podcast on which he has said early 2026, which I think past Q1, we're no longer in early 2026. Mm-hmm. He did say he would release the Epstein footage, but it still, as of this date, hasn't been released. So one has to ask oneself, was this a totally fake, made-up thing that just was on its sua sponte, like on its own, nobody instigated it, and it just came about because there was real truth there? Or is it more likely that a person who was into computer, into video games, had the media ecosystem, had the personal and financial ties to the person that was going to benefit, Donald Trump, engineered all of this and kept it going through various realms with a person who is his friend, like Ghislaine Maxwell? And given how close Bannon and Epstein were, certainly he was friends with Ghislaine too. And the fact that she is question mark in jail, somebody that looks like hers in jail, whatever, and he is still listened to, and nobody that listens to him is like, hang on a minute, this guy's best friends with the pedophile. I should stop listening to him. And you're like, I don't mean the president. I meant the dead pedophile, or the one that's maybe back in on his island, Israel. We don't know where Jeffrey Epstein ended up, but it's wild to me though, that there's just that, I don't know why it's still wild after 10 years, but there's just that ongoing continuous cognitive dissonance of like, well, yeah, Steve Bannon is all throughout the Epstein files, but he is going to be the one that saves us and releases the Epstein files. It's like, do you fucking hear yourself? Mm. Do you think the guy that robbed the bank is going to be that's going to be the guy that's going to bring all the dollars back? It's like, no, he's the one that robbed the fucking bank. He's not going to, that's the wanted poster. You don't pray to that. That's the one that fucked you.
The greatest trick the devil ever played was convincing everybody he didn't exist.
Ba-bam.
Accurate. And Bannon is the devil.
Yeah.
They all are. They all are. They're all in cahoots. They have no loyalty or allegiance to anyone but themselves. Or they'll sell anybody and throw anybody under the bus, even if it's their quote-unquote best friend, if it benefits them. So even those, all these gross people, at the end of the day, they're still lonely, just pedophile, gross perverts nothing real in their life.
No, not at all. And I mean, I think probably the best video, not the most clear video that demonstrates who Steve Bannon is with regard to the whole right wing, particularly MAGA movement. It's not in 2025 at CPAC when he did the Nazi salute and said, fight, 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 which the Anti-Defamation League called it. Like, listen, he's long history of stoking anti-Semitism and hate. Even far right people were like, okay, nope, like, can't do that. But not that video. It was the recent event when he appeared at a Semaphore media event when Steve Bannon walked on stage with what appeared to have been piss on his pants.
Oh my God.
People joked, if Steve Bannon can't hold his urine, can he help hold the house? Because he was arguing, he is the one that has said, if we, the Republicans, lose the midterms, we, myself included, and people in this room, will go to jail.
So and you Steve, should. Can't
so
wait.
They know what the that they did crimes. But Steve Bannon walking out with piss on his pants like he's in Billy Madison trying to act like he's Miles Davis because he's pissed his pants, but he's got his legs all spread. He's sitting out there and everybody sits in the room and lets him speak. You let this sack of crap with piss coming out of his front sit there and lead you. And you think that, I guess it's gone okay so far, but the idea that you're watching this, or maybe his crotch just sweats. I don't know what
I thought. I tried because I was so blown away by it. And that's my own naivety. I was like, isn't it the shadows? And then the more I've watched it, I don't think it is shadows. I can't imagine anyone on his team or, you know, production would have been like, oh yeah, go ahead, go out there. You've just pissed yourself instead of getting a change of pants first.
Or he was backstage and it happened and then he walked out and he didn't notice or know, or his Maybe. Depends. Or it could be that he wears like Depends or something and they leaked and he didn't know that he overfilled them and they like leaked on the sides.
Oh, he overfilled them.
You know that man.
But you know, I mean, we know Trump does because
you can see him.
Yeah. And also, you know, one of his victims kicked a tent pole up allegedly. His ass. So he's got to wear him. But like, if that's what all these people are into, I don't know what's going on with Bannon's urethra or his asshole. They all might wear diapers because their victims have done stuff to him. I hope they do.
Steve Bannon does have a urethra. I never thought about that, but that's where the pee-pee came from that stained his pants. So I don't know why I didn't ever consider that, or it's just a hole. Who knows? But yeah, so anyhow, he's still out there. He still has his podcast. He's still making appearances, begging to win the House. If you ever worry that voting doesn't matter, I mean, why would Steve Bannon beg people to vote? I mean, you know what I mean? He said it himself. If we lose, I will go to jail. So let's do that then.
I don't think he thinks they'll really lose, though. I think it's more fear-mongering to get the ride out to
rile
vote.
Them up. Yeah, try to rile them up.
But I would, you know, it'd be one of the happiest days of my life if they all went to prison. And the happiest day of my life is when we all get the text.
My friend's sister made bags that are like when it happens, and it's just a bag of confetti and a little like whistle thing. Just like pass out to your friend. So thank you. I've got one for you.
Someone
so
was like,
keep it in your purse.
If I'm asleep, do you want me to wake you up? And everyone's like, I want a Amber Alert style mass text sent to my phone. I want alarms blaring. I want tornado sirens. It doesn't matter how asleep I am. Shake me, wake me up to tell me this news.
Please. If I'm recording the show, run in like a, did you hear the news? Like a paper boy in the 1900s.
I remember not at all. Well, I can't say it's not at all related to this because it is very related to this. But when 9/11 happened,
yeah, it is related.
The morning show on The Ticket was broadcasting and in real time reacted to it. And it's crazy to go back and hear stuff like that of like, real time watching that go down. And it's all definitely tied up in this too. How did two people that just happened to own the property just not go to work that day?
Yeah, Howard
Lutnick. How did they just happen to know not to be there?
And I believe the guy that bought the property took out a huge amount of insurance, like weeks, if not, you know, maybe not months, but weeks before. He now owns a big building in LA, which is probably unrelated to any future disaster. But keep your eyes peeled, because if it's the same guy one time, that's a lot of times. But four times, really. Really, it's a bunch of them. So no, all the Epstein files that are around the dates of 9/11 were also not released. So
from like 1999 to 2001, no files.
Nope.
3 years gone. Where are those?
Yeah. And Howard Lutnick, just look up what he was doing on 9/11. He was the first day he missed work in 30 years.
That's what I'm saying. He just happened to not be there.
I'm going to give a straight face. The footage of him later, they're like, what's it like? He's like, well, and he's just serious. He's like, starts to grin and he's like, I wasn't at work that day. And you're like, motherfucker, why is your face doing that?
Dude.
Maybe it was inadvertent, but I was like, that's somebody that can't hide that they, I don't know. I'm not saying Howard Lutnick did 9/11, but evidence seems to point to the fact that he was aware not to go to work that day, in my opinion, based upon the evidence I've seen. So if that's not true, release all the emails and we can prove it.
Right. And if you, Howard Lutnick, are listening to this, may I just say,
dog,
the type of person that can be told, hey, don't go to work because two airplanes are going to get hijacked and just those towers. And you're like, good to know, I'll be in the Hamptons. And then, you know, everyone you know that works there is going to die. Pretty much everybody.
Every family member that's ever been at a company Christmas party is going to be mourning. Yeah. And you're going to give them all like a little bit of money and then be like, but everyone needs to come back to work that's still alive.
Yeah.
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 No. Not a good person.
And you went to bed that night knowing what was going to happen. And then after it did happen, you slept that night too, just being like, sometimes you got to do things you don't want to do.
It is what it is. I'm glad I bought all those put options on American Airlines or whatever. Someone bought a bunch of put options on American Airlines, though. And an insider traded on it as well. So I think that'll be a future episode for Sinisterhood once all of the Epstein files are released, is who knew what and how. Truly, 9/11 was, no, it was carried out by terrorists. Certainly, it wasn't like there were, you know, nobody from the Epstein class was driving the plane. But I think they certainly knew and encouraged and offered support in various ways. So it's crazy shit. It's crazy shit. This whole thing is crazy. Thank you guys for sticking with us for four episodes. This really covered 10 years of We are a podcast that covers all things sinister, and I can't think of something more sinister than a long-running, effective, damaging, dangerous PSYOP that has not stopped.
Yeah. And yeah, continues. And it continues was going going on long before we even knew about it happening. Mm-hmm.
It's like one has handed off to the other. And that might be a future episode for us as well. It's kind of trying to track where, you know, a CIA operation to control television journalists, like what that looked like and where the handoff was with mm-hmm. digital and stuff like that. And this is, again, not to say all journalists are bad. There are just certain connections. And we're seeing now with like billionaires buying companies up, like you got to look who owns who mm-hmm. and, you know, we all serve a master, and our master, luckily, is you guys listening. So thank you. but, you know, if you're in charge, the people in charge of you are donating tons of money to a regime, then you kind of have to be cool with the regime. But yeah, we're not. So if you see us get like James Comey and get indicted or taken in, help.
Yeah.
Come get us. Save us.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. It's I saw something yesterday that was like, by the time the public knows about it, the government has known about it for about 20 years.
Yeah, so yeah, easily.
Any technology that we get, because everyone's like, AI has been around for decades. Mm-hmm. The public did not gain access to it, maybe until recently, but mm-hmm. the government has been using it for a long, long time. And that can be said of pretty much everything.
Yeah, if they have access to it, they're going to use it as much as they can first.
Before we, and like in much more advanced ways as well.
For real. You never know. We won't find out until it goes sentient and rats on all the people that have yeah. been manipulating it. So we'll see when
or
that
all that ice melts in Antarctica and we finally get that ancient civilization from where we came. All those
they're
people get unthawed and tell us what this is really about. This is
free the frozen
hyperfixation is Antarctica.
Free the frozen aliens.
Free yeah. the frozen aliens. No one can convince me that Antarctica doesn't hold all the answers.
There are some weird stuff down there. If I was going to hide something, you hide it in the basement, especially if the basement's really cold. And then and you tell people, hey, you can't come down to the basement.
And I think while humans have built things to hide things there, things that were already there have been discovered that are continuing to be kept hidden that are non-human.
You're telling me there's not a giant frozen Kraken octopus, like Arctic thing, and a whole family down there? I bet there is. That's how they built that whole land.
What's going on in where all that water is? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Tim Burchett, the representative from Tennessee, said they have something the size of a football field that could go 200 miles an hour under the water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You tell me that's one of ours? I don't think so, Tim.
No. Man, yeah, this is like when I got really obsessed with Mount Everest. This is
Hell yeah. Like, let's go down in it.
Latest obsession. And unlike Mount Everest, this is a hard one to conquer. No, Mount Everest is still hard to conquer. But most people now just pay $30,000 to a Sherpa and just walk up a mountain covered in trash. Stop hiking Mount Everest. You don't need to do it. It's not that impressive anymore. And you're literally destroying the entire mountain and the water system that the people that live there use.
So just go hike Antarctica instead and find the fucking aliens. Use your survivalist skills for good. Why are you being selfish climbing Mount Everest? Go climb down into the crevasse that will expose the Kraken. The Kraken bass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Thank you for sticking with us through all this. And, you know.
More to come.
More to come. Well, if you like our free episodes like this one, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling can be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, unpopular opinions and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We had a new True Crime Headlines come out recently about One Tay sentencing in Gilgo Beach, as well as the Texas Killing Fields arrest. And we also had our Petty Confessions, which we hadn't done one of those in a while. So if you've done something petty and maybe a prank on someone or something like that, go over and check out that new one. And I've been thinking about that lady in the water fountain.
Dude, that
I've been thinking about it.
Oh my God. Such genius. If you're looking for
we got
a
you.
Pretty harmless prank that yeah. will just wreck someone, go check out that post. Yes.
It was fun. That was a good time. So it was thank a good you. One. And yeah, go to sinisterhood.com/contact and submit Patreon segments. We have Judge Christie. We have Am I the Asshole or Unpopular Opinions, either ones you find online or your own. So send them in on there because it makes it way more fun when it's stuff from you because we can never even imagine the type of things you'll send us.
I love it.
No, and we also offer free trials so you can join for a week, check out all the perks, and cancel anytime before the trial is over. We got the free tier where you get Sunday Scaries, you get one BOCO a month, but we have all of our other tiers that you get so much really cool, I think, fun interactive stuff, including tomorrow, April 30th, Total Request Live. You choose what we do. I think we're going to be on the porch because that's
sweet.
One of the requests was to be on the porch. So
eating Taco Bell.
Another one said eat Taco Bell. Another one said play music. Another one said answer anything we ask. And if you don't, like a truth or dare, and if you don't want to answer, you just got to take a hit off the
okay.
cloud.
So I mean, so far that's what we're doing with a good time.
Okay,
twist our arms. Sit on my porch and eat Taco Bell while talking to you guys.
I was like, twist my arm. So it's still open. If we can make it happen, if it doesn't require, you know, if you don't say like rent a giant tractor or something, we can't get last minute. But tell us next time.
Yeah, and no like, no nudes.
Show us your boobs. No, yeah. They would never say that. But no. I was trying to see what our comments have said so far. Yeah, truth or dare, sinisterhood style. I would like McGruff to be present, so I'll bring him with me. He's right here.
Sex pests.
Hey, baby.
Grazing table in the past, maybe a case for Judge Christie, a little Am I the Asshole. So we'll have some of those.
Kind of a little of everything.
Just it's going to be a party vibe and
a sampling, a charcuterie.
A charcuterie. It's going to be fun. Bring a charcuterie. So April 30th, 8:30 Central. And if you missed it, that's okay. You can watch the replay, but try to be there live. And if you do a free trial, you can just go to that and then cancel before the trial is over and do it for free. Mm-hmm. Pull one over on us. We'd never know. But if you stick around, you get a lot. So stick around.
You get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live stream bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, minisodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Absolutely. Go over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, even clothes for your kiddos, and grab that discount code on the pin post on Patreon to get your Patreon discount.
Mm-hmm. While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much to everyone who leaves such nice things to say and 5 stars. You can submit topics for cases you'd like us to cover, your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday, and whatever bizarre or hilarious video you want us to live react to during Sunday Scary. Our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central, totally free. Like Heather said, you just put in your email, get immediate access to Sunday Scaries, to a whole backlog of content just for signing up as a free member. And once a month, you get an archived BOCO sent to you May 3rd, this Sunday. We're back.
It's happening.
We've been on sabbatical. We are back. This Sunday, 8:30 p.m. Central, it's going to be a ton of fun. So, yeah, do your free trial. If you're a member, we can't wait to see you there. And, yeah, we're excited.
We miss all the homies from the chat.
Mm-hmm.
Go over to our website, too, to get tickets to Crime Wave at Sea, or go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister. Use code sinister, like we said, to get that meet and greet and $100 off. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. If you're looking for a unique personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, maybe you just want to treat yourself to a pep talk. Book a cameo now. From happy birthdays to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever you've accomplished, we will create a customized video. It can be immediately viewed and sent. It's thoughtful. It's easy to buy from your house without putting your pants on. And it's a completely unique, wonderful gift. So go to the website, www.cameo.com on a computer /Sinisterhood to get the best deal. Where can people find you on the internet?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts. Amy Buster.
Ariana Brenner.
Bob, we had a baby. It's a boy.
Congrats. Rebecca Wells.
Ellery.
The Nitty Twin.
Crystal Choate,
Matthew Rojas,
Jenna Morrisau,
Pammy Rax,
Stacey Rogers,
and Young Teeth. Thank you all so much for supporting this show. We could not do this without you all. We hope we pronounced all your names correctly. Congratulations, Bob, if it's a, if that's true.
I think it's a 1-800 collect call commercial reference.
Oh, is it?
Do you remember that? You don't remember that commercial from way back when?
No, what was
like,
it?
It would be like, we'll connect your collect call. And then the guy would be like, we had a baby, it's a boy. And then the person receiving it would be like, oh, and then reject the call to like get a free 1-800 collect call.
Oh, okay.
Which is way back when you had to pay 1-800 collect.
Yeah, man. I should remember that. But and now it's ringing bells. But either way, Bob, congratulations. And we love each and every one of you. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
I only know that because I'll be watching them old commercials on YouTube for fun. Sinister. I'm going to kill you.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.